This is where smart business conversations meet real-world experience, where strategies are shared, lessons are learned, and ideas come to life. I'm Emily Galindo, and you're watching Biz Talk, your destination for real insight from the mind shaping tomorrow's business world. Only on Now Media Television.
Hi, welcome to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we are here to talk about all things business. We are speaking to you, entrepreneurs, lovers of business, and helping to make that experience as least stressful, most effective, and most importantly, impactful for you. And so we are excited to have our guest today to share his expertise in payment processing, which is apparently a way that can save you thousands and thousands of dollars every year and be able to help you operate your business smoothly, getting and receiving money from your customers. And so we're excited to have Scott Williams with Juggernaut Payment Processing today. So welcome, Scott. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Emily.
You are so welcome. That's a big claim, like that you say just swiping credit cards can change the way people do business.
Yeah.
And you absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
Okay, well then you need to help us all understand how is that possible, because as a business owner myself, I think that, right, we run the business, we serve the customers, we do all the things, and then the money shows up in our account and typically less than I expected. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good day for me.
Let me ask you this. How would an extra $6,000 do you right now in your business?
We would love an extra $6,000 in our business right now, for sure.
So that's what I'm doing right now for a client of mine. They were sold on a system. They weren't helped at all. And they hid all the fees basically in the application that they did. So they're getting screwed out of around $6,000 a month.
A month?
A month.
Okay. And so help our viewers understand just a little bit more about, like, how does this whole system work, right? Like I said, I open my doors. I have to be able to collect money from my customers,
yep.
Right? We have to use credit cards because that's how our society operates financially.
Yep.
How do I choose the right company?
Kind of depends on what you're doing, how much you're doing, what type of, if you're going to be in person, you'll be online. So let's say you have a real complicated business, restaurant. So a restaurant needs a system that can handle all the information coming in and going out. Because all that information is going to tell you, basically it's going to be their brains, almost your heart of your business is what's going to be in that point of sale system. So you have to decide how much information you need for your business. So restaurants, they need everything from hour to employee to, you know, what time deliveries are going to be made.
Inventory.
So you have to be able to track that on a constant basis so you know exactly what you're doing, because you might need to change what type of specials you're doing on certain days, or who's going to be working on certain hours because some might sell better than others. So it just really depends on what you need. Now, if you just need a simple, if you're just in person, you just need a way to take payments, easy, you can make it happen. It just really depends on what that business needs to take cards.
Okay. And so if, so I've opened my doors, I've now selected Juggernaut to use my payment processing. Like how do I know, let's say I didn't go with Juggernaut and I went with somebody else, how do I know that I'm getting screwed out of $6,000?
Merchant statement.
Okay.
After your first 30 days in business, you should receive something called a merchant statement. It also depends on what type of company you're using. Square doesn't really do that. They don't send out merchant statements because you already know it's going to be a flat rate. But with most of them, like Heartland or Global Payments, you should be receiving a merchant statement every month. And the first thing you want to look at, there should be certain line items. So every card in the world has got a different interchange rate. So what you're looking for is you're looking at a discount rate, which is basically their markup, and then you're looking at the interchange fee, which is based on that credit card itself.
So the interchange fee is the fee that the business owner pays to accept the payment of that credit card.
For that credit card.
For that specific credit card.
And then the discount rate is the markup that basically is the profit for that agent or whatever company, like Global Payments. Same way with me, there's a markup for my services.
Right, that would be your profit margin,
yeah.
If you will, right?
Okay. So I really try to look at what's going on, because there's some that they're marking it up above 1%. So you're doing interchange plus over 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that could be, I mean, that could be all the way up to 5% total, your net effective rate. Just depends on what card you're using.
5% of what I just collected from my customer for my things. 5% is just going to go to the credit card company. Yeah. Bye-bye. Nobody will see it.
Nobody will see it. Okay. Except for the credit card company.
Okay. And so the merchant statement will show what those percentages are for each transaction or just overall?
It should show it per basically card use, because sometimes people will use, you know, a Visa signature. You know, it'll group it together. And so it'll give you a breakdown of all the credit cards being used, number of transactions. And then the second thing you want to look at is they might call it miscellaneous fees, additional fees. And you're looking at just random fees. And they could be PCI fees, they can be security fees, they can be, oh my gosh.
What's a PCI fee?
Basically payment card industry. It basically is...
Payment card industry, like I just get a fee for just using the industry that they created?
So basically the PCI is security. You do this PCI every year, and basically it's a form stating, hey, you know, you are not taking these credit cards, and basically putting them on a post-it note and putting them somewhere where they can be stolen.
And okay.
I try to make it as basic as possible.
All right.
Because if you read through it, all these questions are just weird and random, and they're different per whoever the sponsoring bank is, whoever the ISO, the independent sales organization that all these applications go into. And they could be all different. It's not really standard, but they just want that security, knowing that you aren't taking that credit card information and putting it in a place where it can be stolen.
Okay. So for security purposes, and a lot of these fees are for security, firewalls, things like that. Some of them
are like, hey, guess what? We're just going to fee you because we can.
Because you don't know you don't know what you're looking at.
Yes.
And do you think that is ultimately how business owners are getting screwed out of money, is because they just don't know what to look for?
Yep. That and they don't know how to manipulate the cards, because debit cards and credit cards are two totally different animals. Debit cards seem more as a cash, but it's still being a bank transfer. So there's an interchange with that, but it's a lot lower. You're talking about 0.5% to 0.125%. So and when you talk about credit cards, you're going all the way up to American Express. That can be like 3.5, 3.7. So you have to be set up to take all cards, but that doesn't mean when they personally walk in, you have to accept that card. Because you have some businesses that don't take Amex.
Yes, yeah.
I had a merchant recently give me a call, and he's like, hey, I want to try to lower this a little bit more. And I was like, well, you're taking a lot of signature cards. Ask if they have a Visa debit card. Because most people, it's still 50-50 people using debit and credit cards. Credit cards offer a little bit more security, because there is kind of that buffer, because you are able to, challenge the company or
complain. I mean, they're not just going to access my whole bank account and take all my money immediately, right? Like, they don't have that ability on a credit card.
No. But there's a bit of a basically a buffer for credit cards, and you can do things like that, you know, if a company doesn't do you right.
Right. But then I pay more. Me, the merchant, pays more for that.
It's and the reason for those fees is because of fraud and chargebacks.
Okay. So if they're looking at the statement and they're seeing probably anywhere between 3-5% of their, I mean, that was my experience as a business owner. We did it for like, I think 4 months. And then we started adding up all of the money that wasn't going in the bank account. We were like, hold on, we need to maybe look at other options. And we did, we transitioned to ACH transfers instead of collecting taking debit cards or credit cards. So how often do you think a business owner should actually look at, I mean, at the end of the day, you get the merchant statement. That was yesterday's problems, right? It's after the whole month and I can't get any of that money back. So how often should business owners be looking at this and saying, and talking to somebody like you?
Probably at least every 6 months, just to make sure it's on the up and up. And most of us, like if we're an independent broker like myself, we'll do free cost savings analysis. And it usually takes 24 to 48 hours, and we can kind of give you a breakdown. I mean, I've gotten some, and I'm like, just stay with what you got. It's working for you. You're getting a good rate. It is what it is. Now, if they want to change because their tech sucks or if their customer service sucks, more than happy.
Is it likely that once I partner with a certain, like Heartland you had mentioned, mm-hmm. that and everything is on the up and up, that then in 6 months things just magically change because we have magic new fees that yes. I didn't pay attention to? Does that happen?
Yeah, so there was a bookkeeper that reached out to me. She gave me her merchant statement, and the first paragraph on the merchant statement, which nobody almost never reads, told them, hey, we are marking up debit cards by this much, credit cards by this much, and ACH by this much. Mm. And so if she didn't read that, she would have been like, why is everything going up? Because that first paragraph can change every month.
Right. Or in some cases, you don't read anything and the fees just keep adding up. Like if you're doing lots of transactions and it's a busy... Mm-hmm. like a restaurant you had mentioned, right? Like that's just every day. You just kind of look at the top line item number. How much money did we collect today? How much ended up in our bank? And you kind of miss everything in the middle.
Yep.
So if we've got viewers who are maybe questioning how much money they're spending on payment processing or would like this free cost analysis, how can they get in hold of you?
Best way is to call or email 409-718-7133. That's an old school Houston number for people that know. So I am a Houston native.
Houston native, but you've got your LinkedIn here for everybody to check out. That's another great way to get a hold of you. You've been an expert in Houston for a long time now, know our system and our economy really well. So if you, or can you do business elsewhere outside of Texas?
So yes, I have clients. I have clients in Ohio, I have Vegas, Florida. I will basically go anywhere need be.
Okay. Very good. Well, with that, I mean, you've given me a lot to ponder on just because and giving me kind of a panic, right? Like, and I hope that our viewers, not that I want you to panic, but that this is a place that you could actually say if you're looking for cash flow issues and there's something going on in your business, this is a simple way that you can check out this line items, have you look at it and say, I can save you money.
Yep. Faster than your insurance.
Okay. There you go. Well, there you go, Scott. Thank you so much for being here today and helping our viewers understand payment processing and how they can save money in their business. We appreciate it. And with that, we are going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back with our next expert. Stay tuned. Thanks for watching Biz Talk.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Head to Now Media TV and on the app or on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready to view when wherever you are. Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we are here talking about all things business. And my next guest is an expert in business, actually. And he is also my business partner, Rick Gutierrez, with Next Level Business Network in Action. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I feel like I am a repeat offender.
You are a repeat offender.
I'm here all the time.
You are so good at this that we wanted to bring you back so that you could share some more wisdom with all of our viewers.
All right. It's funny because I used to be here hosting this show a while back, and then I moved into the back, more in the back of the scenes type of thing, and now I'm back here, so it's just a full circle. But thank you for having me. I think, you know, this conversation is something that we don't have this conversation very often, and I think one of the things that we love to do, you and I, is drive business forward for business owners and business professionals. I mean, that is what we're dedicated for. And I have a personal philosophy as to the reason why we're passionate about that. It's because we love business. We're business advocates. The reason for that is because if the business is good, that means that the business owner or the business professional is also doing really good, which means also translate to the family doing really good and doing some amazing things. So that's my personal philosophy. We love business and we love helping business professionals, as I mentioned, achieve great things in business.
Yeah. And so what is it that Next Level Business NIA does, like, to help the business owners and business professionals?
Well, I've been saying this for quite some time, and it took me a little while to figure out this formula. there is networking is not just about going and then shaking babies, or I mean shaking hands and shaking
no shaking babies.
Babies. Don't shake the babies. But anyways, it's about going and networking and being intentional and being purposeful in who you meet with. It's about helping those that are going to help you drive business forward. So I always tell folks, you have to be mindful of your time. Your time is valuable. You have an hourly rate. So as long as you know that you're going to be intentional as to who you meet with. And what one of the things that we coach in Next Level NIA is that, you know, we want to be strategic with our business partners and our referral partners and who we meet and how intentional that meeting needs to be. We're always going to be able to catch up about what's going on in our personal life and all those great things, but the idea is to meet with a strategic partner that is going to help us drive business forward. And the way that we do that, we have a document that we provide to all of our members, something that we called a referral strategy session document. Very specific, very detailed questions, and at the very end, it's what are you going to do for me, and what am I going to do for you, and the date as to when and by when we're going to do those actions, right? So it's something that I think it should have been brought up in the business of networking many, many years ago,
yep.
And for whatever reason, folks in business are just meeting with other networkers just for fun, and they talk about everything in the world, which is great, fine, you're going to make a lot of great friends. But we walk out of that meeting just completely empty-handed, and that is a billable marketing hour that if you're not extracting something for the business to generate revenue, then it's a billable marketing hour that just went to waste, in my opinion.
Yeah, and those are all, I think, the intentionality, the being strategic, and all of those elements are incredibly important. We teach about them all the time and want to encourage people to take their time so seriously. I think for me, on our side, my side of it, the thing I love the most about what we are trying to convey, or at least we are on a mission to try and re-educate business owners about, is the, well, not being just friends, but the community. Being in business is a lonely road, would you say?
It is.
This community that we can have and provide to our members and to business owners, like if they're out there banging their head against the wall and feeling like it's lonely at the top and they have nobody to help support them mm-hmm. in their vision of this dream that they've created, networking can provide that community of emotional support, of resource support, as well as you know, the business aspect of it, the leads and the referrals. But having somebody to like lean on, like you and I have each other, but a lot of people don't have that.
Right.
And I think that networking is a community of people where you can share what's going on in your business and find resources and solutions so that it's not so lonely and stressful.
100% on both facets, right? So whether you're a solopreneur or maybe you're a husband and wife team building a business, or maybe you have a team and employees, right? But when things get going really tough, the business owner, the business professional, most of the times think that it's just them by themselves and we have to figure it out. We have to find the solution. We need to figure out what it is that we're going to do next in order to get the solution. The reality is that when we go into that space, our mindset also goes into a very negative space, and we start with the negative chatter and start second guessing ourselves and forgetting the true value that we bring to people. And so when you are a part of an elite group of business professionals, a group of elite business professionals that you can lean on, that are basically have gone or they're going through it, or they're potentially in the future they're going to go through something similar, and being able to bounce off ideas, you know, from one another on how to drive business forward or what to do in certain situations, whether it's for the business, employees, the team, or anything like that, it's crucial. I mean, being a part of a community that is supportive first and foremost, not just on a personal side, just being friends and being there for it, but
right.
on a business side and being mentors for one another, it's a big part of the solution that you're talking about. It could be lonely, yes, but you don't have to be lonely. There's plenty of people out there. There's plenty of networking that does it, that do it professionally and at a level that they are actually wanting to help others.
Right, right.
Achieve success.
Right. You're using language like elite groups and professionals. Like, would you say that all networking is created equal? I mean, I know the answer to this, but
yeah.
what is it that's been, what has been the traditional sense of viewers who have like, oh, I've tried networking or I've gone to these events and it didn't work. Like, what is it that we are doing and that Next Level is doing that's so different than what other organizations or other experiences they may have been through?
Well, I'm just going to be very blunt, and I don't know if this is probably the best way to say it or not, but one of the things that we're doing absolutely different is that we acknowledge and we know the value of everyone's time. And so it makes no sense for us to get our members that, you know, become basically our clients, for them to invest time in helping us build our business. That's our job. Our business is our job. We need to build our business, right? And so one of the things that I tell all of our members is that we value your time. And if you don't know what the value of your time is, we want to sit down and we want to figure that out. We want to build that for you and with you. So we have our members come into the meeting. They enjoy a drink or coffee, whatever it may be. They enjoy appetizers on the table, and we allow them to enjoy the meeting by connecting and building true business relationships within the setting. It's not just a, you know, happy hour type of thing. It's structured, but it's led by us. It's mainly you. It's led by you. And so when you have that type of environment, it's a totally different level. This is a type of networking for those that are ready to graduate out of the traditional networking that has been, you know, for a very long time. And so there is networking for everybody. There's all kinds of networking, and I'm not saying that no networking works. It all works. It's just that there is a level of networking for different stages of, right, of professionals' life.
Right. And so I'll just take a minute to explain kind of the traditional experience would be, right, you go into a happy hour, you walk around with a drink in your hand and you're passing out cards and yeah, you're shaking hands and hoping that you kind of bump into somebody who you might be aligned with in business and might be able to help you, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's the base level. And then the second level would be a structured, very structured environment where you only get to talk for 60 seconds possibly and say who you are and what you do. And then the networking kind of happens after the meeting, so right, you can go talk to that person. And then what we provide is actually, like you said, in the setting where we are actually getting to the meat of creating those strategic partnerships. Because at its core, networking is creating strategic partnerships with a co-person who's in a different line of business than me, who might be able to help funnel me new business from your client book and me doing the same thing for you, right? Like there's an actual art to this, there's a system to it, so that way you get to get more business opportunity and I get to get more business opportunity by having this relationship.
Right.
That is ultimately what networking is, and there's different ways to go about it. We believe that investing in your time and the minutes that we have with you in the meeting to create those strategic partnerships with mm-hmm. properly led conversation starters, with, you know, the proper education, like you referred to the referral strategy session, like this is how we can move those strategic partnerships further, faster, and in a way that's really going to make an impact on the business.
Yeah, there's also another side of what we do for our members, right? So every time that a member comes on board, they schedule a 1 hour onboarding session with me, because I'm a systems and processes driven type of individual. I like to sit down with all of our members and show them all of the bells and whistles of the platform, the technology. I like to show them where is what is what, and how to leverage all of their benefits, along how to leverage the database. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I don't believe that there is any networking organization out there that teaches or coaches their members on how to leverage the database.
No, as far as I'm aware, there is not. And then they also get a meeting with me. What I right. do is called a network analysis meeting, where I look at who do you know, who do you need to know. And I think between those two things, that's the magic that we create, because if I'm meeting with every single member having those conversations, I know that this person over here needs this person, and I know this, and so I can put them together quickly, which helps move those strategic alliances right. together. So if people wanted to, in the Houston area, or we've got franchises all over the country of Network in Action, if somebody wanted to come check out one of our meetings, we have a couple in a few weeks, how could they find our group information?
Oh, it's very simple. Our website is coming up right now. You'll see a tab up at the front, the fourth tab that says calendar. And in our calendar, we've got all of our events listed there. You can register for the events there. You can RSVP, and When those RSVP come in, we know who's coming and we can welcome them and give them their drink ticket and all of those good things.
Yeah, they'll get a phone call from you or from me to confirm that they'll be attending. Right. We can make some introductions even before the meeting starts and start making those partnerships, because we really are passionate about making an impact on people's businesses.
Yeah, there's a very big difference. I'll just add this very quick thing. There is a very big difference between a mentor and or a coach who is in business themselves, coaching other business owners, versus an employee of an organization trying to coach a business owner. It's just
or a volunteer.
It's not really it's not very relatable, in other words. And I think this approach is, aside from everything that we talked about, this approach is basically what works really well. Our members are happy and excited as to what we're doing, and
the one thing that I'm most proud of is that the thing that you and I set out to create, that new redefining of professional networking, the members are providing feedback to us that the experience that we wanted them to have, they're actually having, and are feeling the difference in the quality of people and the quality of business and all of the things. So I'm really excited to be in partnership with you. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. And it goes to say all of our members are our clients, and not only our clients, but you know, we become a part of them and they become a part of us. And so it's all about all of us growing together and allowing us to help one another.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for everything you're doing for our members and for business. So thank you so much, guys. Hang in there. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Hi, and welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and if you're just now joining us, we are here talking about all things business so that you can gain knowledge and have the best business experience that you can have by listening to our experts and what they've got going on. And we are excited to have Wally Dakar with us today. He is the VP of Sales for PureClean, and it is an absolute pleasure to have him, because as a business owner, you can open your doors, but you've got to bring in the sales some way, and there's nobody better to help you understand how to run a sales organization or sales team like Wally. So welcome, Wally.
Thank you, Emily. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, and I truly mean that. I've talked to you several times, and there is an art to being a VP or a director of a sales team, and you seem to have figured it out.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Looking good. Before PureClean, you were with Verizon for 19 years?
I was. I spent about roughly 30 years of my career with telecommunications. So my career started from Verizon back in 1999, before Verizon was formed. And then I worked my career from there, really from carrying the bag all the way up to director of sales, managing a team with four states. Mm-hmm. So I learned myself how to do things at the beginning, and then started teaching my team how to do it effectively.
That was going to be the biggest, I think that's the biggest thing that most salespeople don't know how to do, which is, we know how to do the selling, and if you are good at it, how do you turn a top performer into coaching other top performers? So what is that transition like, or what do you...
So the transition for me was really just that I'm out with them every single day engaged. You have to be engaged. You can't help someone do something and be successful at it if you're not willing to do what they are doing every day. So you got to go out and be able to really hear what's up there, what they're dealing with, what are some of the objections, what are some of the things that you could help them overcome. If you're out with them, you'll hear these objections, and then you could coach, you could mentor, you could help. And that way, I always say, my team, I'm with you every step of the way. I'm actually ahead of you one step. Why? I like to lead. I want to be the first. When I take a new rep with me, I'm the first one to go. And I said, you listen to me until 2-3, you're comfortable, then I'm going to turn it to you. I'm going to let you talk. Mm-hmm. You know, so let me lead it until you're comfortable and listen to me, take notes, ask me questions. Then I'm going to turn it to you, and I'm going to let you lead it at that point. But it's important. Why? Because you want to demonstrate you could do the thing you're asking them to do. If you want somebody to do something for you, they need to feel that you are really steering them in the right direction. And the only way they're going to do that if they see you doing it in action. If you're not doing it in action, I don't know if I believe you really, I don't know if this is doable unless you prove it to me. And I'm the type, I'm going to show you first, prove it to you, then let you do it after me.
Right. And I think that maybe some sales managers get to that position so that they don't have to sell anymore. And they, what we call armchair, they're armchair managers, where they just are like, go do the thing and come back. Like, I've done it all. I've heard all the objections. I don't need to go with you anymore.
Absolutely. I've seen it. And actually, aside from armchair, we call them spreadsheet managers.
Okay.
All what they want to do is control the spreadsheet. They want to look in there to see if you're in the red or if you're in the black, if you're doing a good job or you're not doing a good job. But I don't know what are your challenges, Emily.
Right.
I need to ask you these questions. I need to see you in the field and see what's going on in your world, because they live in their own bubble. And if you're not inside their bubble, they're not going to just come in there and tell you. They're nervous, especially new reps when they're coming on board. If you're not out with them, if you're not helping them, if you're not open to their feedback, if you're the type of manager, just listen, just do it. What do you mean? So you're going to give me a spreadsheet or a CRM and just say, have a nice day, enjoy it? That's not the way it works. You have to show them. You have to take the calls with them. You have to listen to them. That's the only way you could coach someone, when you listen to them, when you're engaged. If you're not engaged, you won't be able to be effective manager or leader.
Right, absolutely. And there's lots of approaches, which is some people believe that sales is just a numbers game. If you just talk to enough people, then you'll eventually find that blind, you know, the blind squirrel will find the nut or whatever. That can work. It does work. People have proven it over and over. But do you feel like you get better results than just this set to run to?
I do. If before I ask you to do something, if I come in there and help you and show you how to do things, if the way I look at sales, the way I see sales is really contact sports. How many contacts do you know? How many people you could really meaningful connect with? The way I tell my team, you don't earn the right unless you get to that customer, unless you really build that relationship. Now you earn the right to sell them something. And I don't mean sell them a product. I mean you gain the respect to talk to them about what you could offer them as a solution. The problem always, if you lead with the conversation about price, you lose every single time.
Yeah.
Value. In absence of value, price is a problem.
Yes. Absolutely. I love that. That is, and so for our viewers who are potentially about, you know, trying to form a good sales team or starting, that's maybe the next approach, or even worse, they've hired lots of salespeople who have not produced anything. What would be your recommendation in trying to determine whether or not a person is a good fit for a sales role in your organization?
I would start by working with them and taking them out in the field. Most of the time what I've seen is you have your leaders on your team, right? You have the A reps on your team. So what you do is you say, okay, I want you to mentor this rep for one day. Next day I'm going to put you with another rep. Well, great, but that should be step 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. You should be step 1. You should be the first line of defense. You take them under your wing first. Teach them the right way, because as you know, sales reps tend to carry bad habits. And sometimes it's not easy to break those bad habits. They still carry them. I don't want the new rep coming in there with a clean slate to learn bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
I want that rep learning the right things.
Okay.
Right way to sell,
right,
the right way to earn the right with the client, and really be that person that can go out and conquer the world, basically. Going out with the reason why they get up every single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they should have a target every single day that they want to accomplish and do. And so that's why I don't do that, you know, with the new reps. I want to go with them first. I want to teach them first how they do it. And once I see them embracing the things we're talking about, the other big challenge we don't talk about with salespeople is your own culture as a company.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it before many times that they come in there and they hate your culture. It's just not a fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the culture they came from. So what they tend to do, they tend to kind of want to back away, right? Or go back to their old habit or trying not to be in the spotlight. So that's when I really need to expose that really fast. So if somebody feels like they cannot embrace your culture, you may be able to work with them, see if you could make this work for both of you. Because remember, it's a relationship, right? You want them on board because they need to like what you do, and you need to like what they do. It's really 50-50 the way I see it. It doesn't mean you're a manager. Exactly. Don't treat them like a reps and you're a number. No. This is when you lose a rep. You have to be engaged. And if you're not engaged and you really care about them, the first time when I bring them from one-on-one, the first thing I do is talk about their family, about them. What are their birthdays? How many kids they have? What do you guys do on the weekend? And they're like, that's not what I'm preparing for. I thought you were going to ask me about my number. I don't care about your numbers. I want to talk about you.
Huh.
If you get to know them, you really genuinely care about them, who cares? The numbers will come.
They will.
That's the idea.
I've been in the sales roles multiple times over the years, and when you have that kind of relationship with your manager, it ends up being, for me it was, I would show up to work on some days because I didn't want to disappoint him way more than me hitting my own numbers, but because I knew that he was always there for me and I was always there for him, and it was an exchange of a partnership. Because ultimately, as a salesperson, you do operate in your own bubble because it's my reputation, it's my book of business, they are my contacts, and you guys are just fulfillment. Like, and when I leave, I go take those same contacts, right? So if you treat it that way, then everybody gets to have what they need and want out of the relationship.
That's right.
So you have started, so you're this VP of sales at PuroClean now, and you are starting their sales organization from scratch, yes? Or have been building
yes.
it over the time?
I'm taking on what was already there and making it better, refining it.
Okay. What was your first thing?
Well, the first thing is when I came in there, I came from corporate America, Fortune 5 company, like Verizon. Everything was done very different. What I mean by that, very different, they believe in building a really strong culture because they believe that culture what drive everything you do every day, the sales, the numbers, all that will come eventually. But try to focus on people. People come first. And then you focus on knowledge, which is what we call skill. Right? So I need to make sure the rep always have the skill. I own that. As a manager, as a leader, you own the skill for that rep. Last thing you want, that rep is in there and you said, okay, go do this. This is your marching orders. But they have no idea. They're not armed with the knowledge how to sell something or how to talk about a product. So the first thing when I came to PuroClean is I saw the word rep came a lot. And I'm thinking myself, a rep, they're not a rep, they're professional. They are consultant. They are people that knows how. Most of our teams are certified. They have certification within our industry, the restoration. And so they are more than a rep. They bring a level of knowledge that I want to make sure and showcase that with the client. So therefore, they are now a consultant. They are not a sales rep.
Okay.
And so that makes a difference in front of the customer because I want to bubble that up. I want to bring that up. I'm sending you my consultant, the person that have been here for 3-4 years that have certification with ICRC that will talk to you about your concerns with restoration.
Okay. And if people wanted to get in contact with you or with PuroClean and learn more about these consultants and talk with some of them, how could they get a hold of them?
So just let me know that you're interested in talking to them. I would love for you to connect with my reps and talk to them directly because that's the only way for me to, nothing pleases me than seeing them flourishing, seeing them happy, seeing them coming to work without where you at and all this follow check. That pleases me more than anything.
Yep.
You know, you have to trust. You have to also know, if you set it up correctly from day one, you will be able to accomplish that because you want the relationship to stop on the right foot and stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have any concerns or issue with that rep. You want to keep that relationship going, have an open door policy. What I mean by open door, I know it's a cliche, but it's a really open door policy.
Yeah.
Like, listen, whatever on your mind, bring it.
Right.
Good, bad, or ugly, I don't care. I'm with you. I am with you 100%. I will back you up. And most of the time, even when I'm in meeting with my leadership, my owners, when something come up about my team, I defend them to the last bit. They know I have their back. When they know you have their back, they will do anything.
They will slay dragons for you.
They do everything just because they know it's the team. I always drive the word team. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about that person. It's about the team wins. So like today is the last of the month. For example.
Oh, yes, it is.
Tomorrow's the first. So I guess my meeting today is going to be about, did the team win or did the team lose? You never isolate a rep what caused something, ever.
Yeah.
Because that demeans the rep. You want the rep always feel good, always feel motivated, want to go out and conquer the world, right? So what you do is you build that self-esteem high and you drive everything regarding team. The team won or the team did not win. But you also highlight positive thing. It doesn't matter if we didn't win, but we have this success sales deal that we closed. You know, let's say $500,000. This rep brought it, and how did you bring it? Let that rep talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, it's just small wins. Every little win, it gets us there.
It does. It does. And so if you guys are interested in talking with any of Wally's sales consultants, or excuse me, their restoration consultants and their expertise, please reach out to them. It's been a pleasure to have you, because this is a topic that we need to discuss more so that people can win all together as a team. So hang in there, guys. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Hey, and welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we are here talking all things business, bringing in experts so that you can take advantage of their experience and take your business to the next level. And there is nobody better in the field than Deonna High Easton with High Easton Law. She is an estate attorney and probate specialist here in the Houston area, joining us to help you figure out and make sure that all the things that you're building in your business get to actually go where they go, and your legacy continues on with all the things that you've built for your family and for your future. So welcome, Deonna.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Very good. Well, let's jump right in, because our viewers are, I mean, like I said in the lead-in, we work really hard as business owners to build this legacy, to build these things. And then what happens, because I know that we don't like talking about it, but at some point we expire, we leave this earth, and all that work, all of those hours invested in our business, all of that money, what happens to it?
Well, that's why we need to create a plan, right? It's called business succession planning is the biggest thing that we can think about. But honestly, having an estate plan is key in making sure that you can protect your family, protect your business, protect your loved ones, protect your assets, right? I mean, there's so much that goes into an estate plan. And I think the biggest thing that people need to remember is that, you know, there's different aspects of an estate plan that are important. You know, people want to sometimes focus on just having their business protected, right? But their families are important. And we need to make sure that there's some what I call ancillary documents. So when you are living during your lifetime, if something happens and you become incapacitated, you want to make sure that there are some documents in place so that way your loved ones can still help your business move even if you are still here on earth, right?
Well, so that was my question. So like if you become incapacitated, you're in the hospital for a month or something like that, and you, I mean, you're the principal, like in my company, I'm the principal face of like what happens, like who gets to make the decisions and use the bank account and who's going to continue on in my stead if that happens to me or
right.
To our viewers. Yeah.
Right. Well, the hope is that, you know, you have some of that pre-planned in your own operating agreement, right? Like when you have a business, it's important to make sure that you have a fail-safe, as I call it, right? But if you don't, then this is why you need an estate plan, because if you don't have a medical power of attorney or a durable power of attorney, and I can explain what those are in a second, but if you don't have those, then there is nobody to make the decision. So then guess what happens? Somebody has to apply with the court to get guardianship designation over you, and that costs a lot of money and it takes a lot of time.
Okay, and so I would love for you to explain those documents in just a second, but in the interest of, if I pass, right, like the estate planning document does cover like the interest in my business, right? If I have a partner, which I do, I have Rick, I mean, and so if I pass and I've got 50% ownership of the business, where does that go? Does it go to probate, or does my family just automatically assume my daughter gets to be 50% owner of my business next level? What happens?
Well, this is the famous answer as an attorney where I say it depends, right? It depends on the situation.
Thanks.
So it depends on if your business agreement, you have basically what your estate plan is going to look like in your business agreement, right?
Okay.
And then also it could be in your actual estate plan. Like if you have a trust, you would outline the terms of what that looks like with your business interests, and if you have a will. and we can discuss that if we have a little bit more time, but it's one of those things that there's, you have to have an option for how your business is going to succeed, whether you're incapacitated or you pass away. If you don't have anything in your operating agreement as a business, or you don't have anything in your documentation for, and you know, there's different ways that you can say it with different business types, but if you don't have anything for an estate plan, then you're kind of stuck, and then somebody has to then apply for the guardianship courts to get the legal authority to make decisions. And if you pass away, then a family member would have to go to the probate court and file and figure out who owns the said business rights, because we don't have it outlined anywhere.
That was going to be my question, mm-hmm. is that do businesses go into probate the same as houses and things do as well?
They absolutely do.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds frustrating.
It's
and
very
in the
scary.
Meantime, as a business owner, if my partner passes and 50% of the business is in the middle of probate, what does that mean for me as the surviving partner? How limited am I limited in my ability to operate the business? Like, what does that mean for my day-to-day type operations?
Oh, absolutely. And this is why it's so important to plan these things with business succession planning, because if you don't have a plan in place, then it makes it chaotic, because it gets stuck in the probate court, right? And so if I were, let's say, you're passing away and you know, Rick has the other half of the business. He's kind of limited in his day-to-day when it comes to the business, right? But in reality, if you have a partner that wants to help Rick, then it gets messy, because then Rick's like, I don't want my partner, or AKA your partner, dealing with my business, mm-hmm. right? So it gets a little complicated. So it's important to make sure that you have something in place. Will, trust, business succession planning when it comes to the actual business operating agreements that you have within your business based on the structure that you have.
Okay, and then outside of the business, right, so now we're making the income, revenue, money, and that's how it's getting done. So then what happens if I don't have any personal estate plan in place in terms of where that money distributions from the business and it going to my children and that kind of thing? Is that included in an estate plan?
That's all included, because okay. we have to include everything, right? Because if we miss something, then you end up in probate court, and then the default law is going to happen, and you necessarily don't want all your stuff to go to certain people, right? So this is the power of estate planning and making sure that you have the choice in how you want your business to be, you know, move through the generations, because I mean, you're building a legacy, why not protect it, right?
I love that. Okay, and so let's talk about some of those you mentioned two documents that are super important, a durable power of attorney and a medical power of attorney. Can you share with our viewers what those things are?
Absolutely, I could talk about this all day.
Okay,
right?
Great.
Okay, so durable power of attorney, what this is, it's a document that I call the ability to make legal decisions regarding somebody who is incapacitated, or you can make it effective immediately, right? So you appoint somebody known as your agent who's gonna make legal and financial decisions while somebody is still here. So hypothetically, if we have, you know, Emily who wants to appoint, let's say, Rick, then Rick would have the power to kind of move money around for her, pay her bills, it could be personal, it could be for the business, all great things. So that's the durable power of attorney. A medical power of attorney, I call it it's very similar to a durable. The only difference is that it's for all your medical decisions, right? So somebody known as your agent is gonna make medical decisions on your behalf. And the beautiful thing that I feel like a lot of attorneys need to know, AKA people, need to remember that they tell their attorneys about this, because they don't put a HIPAA authorization in their medical power of attorney. And you wanna make sure that you have that, just because how do you make medical decisions if you don't have access to their medical records, right? So we wanna make sure that you can protect all the things. So that is during your lifetime, you appoint somebody known as your agent to help this person who's the principal to make the decisions regarding legal, financial, and medical decisions.
Okay, those are all very important things. I know, again, that we don't really like to think about these types of situations, right? Me
right.
not living or being able to take care of my family or my business.
Right.
But they are happening. They are possible and completely completely possible
oh,
to
yeah.
happen.
Yeah.
And you see that on a daily basis. So if some of our viewers have not done any of this before, have not, aside from maybe the origination of their business documents, and want to know what's covered and what's not, and have those conversations, like, what would you say is the best thing for them to do to prioritize, and how quickly should they do that?
Ooh, as quickly as today.
Okay.
I think they should do it. No, honestly, I think it's important that you start to have these conversations with your family members. That's the first step, I feel like. You know, once you start talking, then you can feel a little bit more comfortable, because a lot of times the fear is what prevents people from moving forward, right? So start to have the open conversations, talk to an attorney, and then, you know, ask about documentation regarding a will and, you know, a durable power of attorney and a medical power of attorney, and what do I need to have when I want to succeed with my business, right? And protecting my assets and protecting my children. Think about what your value system is. And those are all kind of really important questions to have and start to have and talk about, so that way you can have the conversations and get the plan in place.
Okay, and when you talk about like your values or the, like the values conversation, why is that important in estate planning?
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I'm a little different as an attorney. I include values and beliefs and all of those things for my clients, just because that is just as important. The intangible assets are just as important as the tangible ones, right? So you love your family. You could love your car, you could love your dog, like you could love everything, right? So when you start to think about the value and the belief system that you have as a person, you think about for your children, who do I want to raise my children? Who's gonna have these conversations that, like, since I'm not here, I can't have with my kids? So thinking about those things on top of estate planning, a lot of attorneys don't do it, but I do it because I think it's really important to make sure that we can implement all of that for all of the people that I come into contact with.
And how often would you say that most of this is being done reactively instead of proactively?
I would probably say it's good 85%.
85% is reactive?
Is reactive.
Wow.
Because fear is such a huge reason why people don't do estate planning. Because think about it. There's a psychology behind it. You don't want to start talking about death. Because if you start talking about death, then that means like you're speaking life into something happening, and people don't want to have that realization. So when they are actually dealing with circumstances, that's when they say, okay, it's time for me to do it.
I'm being forced to do this now versus having done it proactively.
Okay.
Well, yep. Then if they need, this is a need. Otherwise, things don't go maybe where they want to go. They don't, the money doesn't go to who it needs to go to. The assets don't go. So if we wanted to protect our friends, our family, and our business, how could somebody get a hold of you to maybe have this conversation?
Well, there's certainly a lot of different ways. I'm so unique. My name is DNA High Easton. So you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website at higheastonlaw.com. You can give my office a call at 281-895-1721. Literally, I'm anywhere. And I'm unique, so you can find me. But I want to say that the power of estate planning is it's the best gift that you can give your family and your loved ones. It's so important. So,
well, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us today. I mean, I know that every time I talk to you, I feel this anxiety because I'm like, I've got to get this done. And I hope that you all feel that way too, so that you can take care of your friend, your family, and your loved ones and your business. So thank you very much for being here today and taking your business seriously and looking at all of the angles, including the legal ones that you have at your disposal to really have a business of legacy and of success and of love. Have a great day, guys. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you next time.